Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Richard Hooker is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Richard is a good friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust, the co-author of Shoestring Venture, the Startup Bible. He is an advertising consultant. He works with companies like yours and mine to help us put our best foot forward in the marketplace. And he's here to talk to us about that very thing. Richard Hooker, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. I know that one of your main themes is the startup. Mm-hmm. And I'd be curious to get your perspective on the startup landscape right now. What do you think?
The startup landscape has in many ways looked good for a long time. And that is because I'm absolutely convinced that is because the big people have been dropping the ball
yeah.
in the last year. And they have been dropping the ball left and right. And, of course, one of the areas where they've been dropping the ball is customer service.
Right.
And during a recession, things like customer service start to loom very large. In customers' minds,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that startups can do, I mean, not just in customer service, but product development in general, is to get forward of the market because everybody at the big boys, all the big boys, they're starting to retrench and trying to keep their jobs. They're not moving forward.
There's not a lot. One thing about it, Richard, in the biggest companies, in the big companies, the larger the company is, creativity seems to be lacking. And I think the innovation, the granular innovation in the marketplace is going to come from small business in the future.
Yes. And
it has been to a large degree in the past, but I think it's going to be on steroids in the future.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been working on recently is how companies lose that creativity. You know, very often that creativity, that energy, that passion, that's at the very beginning of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes away once they get into the marketplace. I just did a study for a major consulting company who hired me to determine whether Hulu, this online video service,
right.
was a sustainable enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and I said, it's not a sustainable enterprise. I crunched the numbers. they can't do it based on the model they have. But I said, what's really dangerous is I went to all their innovations, went to their Hulu labs, looked at what was coming out of there, and saying, they're not doing anything. They're doing incremental little bits of creativity. They're not doing major research.
No big ideas.
No big ideas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No big ideas in the same way that
they're tweaking. They're not innovating.
That's right. They're saying, how can we make this interface work on a different platform?
Right.
Rather than say, well, what's going to happen when everybody moves off the web?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what are we going to do then?
Or when they move off the desktop under the handheld.
That's right. And another second, and this is a key danger in startups, among entrepreneurial folks. Entrepreneurial folks tend to be like me. They tend to have like a whopping dose of ADHD. they're like hummingbirds going from flower to flower. And building that focus of creativity into a business is key to making that business succeed.
You're right about that. When you first start out, everything looks like an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Everything because you're so new and you haven't put down a taproot yet. You know, you could flit around all over the place, and it's really hard sometimes. That's one of the things I had to learn how to do 20 years ago when I started my small business. Was make sure that I stuck to my knitting. I stuck to the things that I was the best at. And I didn't worry that there was opportunity, even if opportunity came in from another area that I really longed for, I had to say to myself, okay, that's not what you're good at. Let somebody else do that.
Yeah, and that's a really good metaphor because that's exactly the metaphor I use in the book. Once you put the project on the needles, you finish the project, unless it's not finishable. I mean, at every point, you're reevaluating. You're passionate about your business, but you're also removed from your business. Mm-hmm. If it isn't working, then you do something else. And I work with many, many entrepreneurs, and the biggest danger that entrepreneurs get into, they get into two, it's one of two separate creativity dangers. One is the creativity goes off the rails,
mm-hmm.
and they're somewhere else, and they've got 10 different businesses that they've got
yep.
going,
yep.
and the core business is flailing. Well, I'm not a rules-based person, but here's a good rule of thumb. If you can't share leadership among businesses, at least in the startup stage. Leadership has to stay focused
mm-hmm.
on what it's doing. The second is that the creativity is all front-loaded. It's all about what they do at the beginning. And Starbucks is a wonderful example of this, immensely creative business that within about 5 or 6 years, they're like Hulu. They're just doing incremental changes.
They're just delivering coffee, like the other
people.
That's
right. They're just doing little things to do what the core innovation was all about. Meanwhile, the audience has moved on. There's a wonderful saying that I heard Bob Iger once say to me. I actually met him because I used to do some marketing in films.
Right.
And he said, in the broadcast business, nothing guarantees failure more certainly than success. And what he meant by that was that when networks become successful, they start reproducing the success.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the audience moves on, and it's the channels that are flailing for audiences that move with the audience and produce the innovations for the audience, which goes back to what you said about customers. You give customers what they want.
Right.
Successful people or successful businesses lose that edge of giving customers what they want.
And see,
that
this is
always the end for a startup.
This is why what we've just said now is the exact explanation for my statement that I've been saying now for 2 or 3 years. And as we stand here today, I was saying this 3 years ago, as we stand here, stood there then, as we stand here today, and as we'll be here tomorrow, it's okay to fall in love with what you do, but it's not okay to fall in love with how you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to get out of the movie business, but you got to realize that you're going to be delivering your movies differently tomorrow than you are today.
That's correct.
And that's what you just said. And folks, I'm telling you, this is the future. And it's because we are in the age of the customer. Quick break, 20 after. Richard Hooker is our good friend. He's our guest, a member of our Brain Trust, the co-author of Shoestring Venture, the Startup Bible. We'll be right back. Stay with you. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thank you for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And, of course, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Richard Hooker is our guest. Richard is the co-author of, along with Steve Monas, of the book Shoestring Venture, the Startup Bible, new edition coming out real soon. Right, Richard?
Yes, indeed, and we've added a section to it on PR,
yeah,
and on social networking.
All right, good for you. Good updates, and you got a new book that you're going to be launching before too long. We'll get you to come back and talk to us about that again on customer service, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's just years of bad customer service. I have turned me into a customer service expert and made me grouchy enough that I finally sat down.
You had to do it, didn't you?
Yeah,
it just came out of you, didn't it?
Yeah, you were talking about it earlier, and it is, after working on customer service for a while and doing this book, it became very apparent to me that good customer service isn't rocket science. It's not even third grade science, and it's amazing how many people are getting it wrong. And so this book is just, you know, like back to the three R's of customer service for
right.
people.
And when's that going to be out?
We're hoping for a published date of next year.
All right. Well, be sure to let us know. We expect to launch it on the show. And you'll have to come back in the meantime and give us some teasers on it.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've been talking about where some organizations seem to be stuck, right, Richard? I mean, they seem to be stuck on how to move forward, how to embrace customers. When we went to the break, we talked about, you know, falling in love. I said fall in love with what you do, but don't fall in love with how you do it. And these are all, there are sea changes happening in front of our very eyes, Richard, and it's mostly around the customer having more control, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, everything is giving the customer more choices. You said earlier that when you said that the customer has good choices, in many of the interviews that I've done for my books over the years, one of the most valuable things I ever heard came from a storage company, which I worked with, and the head of that company simply said, because customers have a choice, you have to be the best choice.
Yeah.
And that is a sentence that every business owner should have taped to their wall and taped to their monitor.
Say it again.
Taped to the register.
Say it again. Folks, this is going to be on the test.
It is, because customers have a choice, you have to be the best choice for the customer. And that should be something you never forget when you're standing there and a customer is angry at you. You remember, your job is to make your business the best choice for that customer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people...
And now the thing is, though, is at this moment in time, as we stand here in the age of the customer, Richard, how we do that has changed from how we would have done it, say, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, we would have offered better customer service. Well, guess what? Lots of people have good customer service.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have offered a larger array of products. Guess what? We can't out-array Walmart. We would have tried to offer them a better price maybe 30 years ago. Guess what? The price war is over and small business lost. So how do we stay relevant? How do we become the better choice? It's not that the options are not the classic options anymore, are they?
In some ways they are, and in some ways they aren't. One of the great, if you're in, for instance, retail, one of your great benefits is that you going into the market, let's say, by exploiting the web rather than building a bricks and mortar store,
mm-hmm.
allows you to produce a marketing mix that nobody else produces, and that will meet the needs of a customer. Let's say, for instance, we own a Newfoundland dog. We love our Newfoundland dog. We would buy anything that has a Newfoundland dog on it, a cup, a picture. There is no Newfoundland
dog. As long
dog
as it says Newfie, you're ready to go.
As
right.
long as it's a Newfie, it's going to be something sitting on our cupboard. But there is no store out there for Newfoundland dogs. There is enough people out there to support an online store for Newfoundland dogs.
Yeah.
If anybody ever wanted to do that, that's a unique kind of marketing mix.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example in retail. An example in, let's say, products.
But what you're saying, though, is that today you can do that in a virtual marketplace instead of you could never open up a shop, even New York City, probably for Newfies.
Even in Newfoundland.
Yeah, exactly. But you could do it in the marketplace on the web.
That's because you now have a universe of customers who can come to your store in a way that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the in for small businesses, to offer the product mix. You're not going to out Walmart. If you're going to go into business and sell drugs and TVs and CDs and knickknacks for the home, Walmart's going to beat you all the time.
Right.
But if you're going to offer a unique marketing mix, let's say...
Not only niches, but niches of niches.
That's right. The niche in the niche. We're not going to be a dog knickknack store. We're going to be a Newfoundland dog knickknack store. But the same goes for product development as well. I mean, one of the reasons why we wrote the book is we went out there and said, there's no book that does what we want it to do. So we're going to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved many years ago. I designed a project management system. This was a group of entrepreneurs in another business who said, there's no project management system out there for our business.
Right.
So we designed that project management system. We made it totally online. They now, that has been so successful.
And
they
so, folks, this the things that Richard,
so successful, they stopped doing their other business.
The things that Richard's talking about is whether you're a startup or whether you're existing business and you'd like to add a different angle to your business. Richard, give us the website quickly, please.
Sure. It's www.shoestringventure.com.
And the book is available wherever books are sold.
And it's available on Amazon for 99 cents on Kindle.
How about that?
So,
good for Kindle. Shoestringventure.com. Thank you, Richard, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.